Our scripture reading for this morning is a short one. It is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We're going to be reading from chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and it is found on page 980 of your Pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. It's the word of the Lord. Dear God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was thinking about this text for this Sunday, I saw pictures of the tornado that was ripping across Moore, Oklahoma, leaving much destruction and death in its wake. I happen to know some people that live in the area. One, someone that I graduated from high school with, who actually lives in Moore, Oklahoma, and also a college buddy of mine who lives about 45 minutes away from Oklahoma City and what was taking place there in Moore, Oklahoma. Thanks to the marvels of modern technology, I have since been in contact with both of them, one via email and the other through Facebook, and they are doing fine. But we know that there are many people there who are not doing fine, many who have lost everything that they have, some who have lost loved ones, children, parents, friends, a terrible situation there. Suffering is always something that is difficult to talk about. Watching people who have had everything taken from them, watching parents who have lost children, it is always very difficult to begin to make the connection between suffering and faith. And yet in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul does just that. He talks about suffering in relation to faith. Paul makes a rather startling statement in our text this morning. He says that as people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that our hope is anchored not just in the lofty promises of God's peace and grace and glory, though these things are obviously very important, but he says that our hope is also anchored in our sufferings. All the pain and the grief and the heartache that comes from being a human being. Paul says that our hope is anchored in these things as well. Indeed, for Paul, suffering is not just something to be ashamed of or something to deny or something that we ought to pretend doesn't happen to us, but to be human is to suffer. Sometimes to be human means to suffer greatly, and we saw some of that suffering this week as that monster tornado ripped through Moore, Oklahoma.
We saw some of it last month as bombs exploded in Boston, killing 3 people and severely injuring many more. We saw some of it last December as a lone gunman opened fire in an elementary school, leaving many children lifeless and limp. And maybe you are seeing some of that suffering up close right now in your own lives. To live is to experience suffering and pain and heartache, at least at some point in our lives. No one understood that better than the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who was very well acquainted with adversity and hardship. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul recounts some of his hardships, how he was beaten, how he was stoned, how he was shipwrecked, how he was often in danger by sea, in danger on land, in danger by his own people, in danger by bandits. Paul had a very difficult life as he sought to proclaim the good news of the gospel in the world among Gentile people. If you think you have problems, I would invite you to read the life of Paul. Every time I start feeling a little sorry for myself, every time I start feeling sorry for some of the things I have to go through, I simply repair to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and recall all that Paul had to go through in his own life. And yet Paul could say that even in the midst of our sufferings, we rejoice, we boast, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And what the world needs more than anything right now is hope. Real hope. Hope for a better world. Hope for the future, hope for real meaning and purpose in our lives, hope that is rooted and grounded in our concrete experiences of life, including our suffering. Paul says that suffering leads to hope. Our suffering can lead to hope. When I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, I used to work for an officer in the training section of the division headquarters. Every time I would recount to him some adversity or hardship that I had to endure in the performing of my duties, he would always respond by saying, "Good training builds character." "Sir," I would say, "I've been up 36 hours without any sleep. I'm tired." And he would say, "Good training builds character." "Sir," I would say, "the first sergeant made us scrub the tiles in the bathroom floor with the toothbrush." And he would say, "Good training builds character." "Sir, the vehicle broke down and we had to walk 5 miles to the nearest motor pool." "Good training," he would say, "builds character." You see, he was interested in the building of a certain kind of character, the character of a soldier, a character that would endure hardship in order to get the job done. This weekend, of course, is Memorial Day weekend, and our country celebrates those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And those people were not just born, but they were developed. They were people of character, people who loved their country and whose character was developed and who gave and made the ultimate sacrifice for the country. And because of people with that kind of character, our country remains free and prosperous. But the Apostle Paul knew that God is not only present with us in the midst of our suffering, but that God can use our suffering and transform our suffering in order to develop within us a certain kind of character. A more loving character, a more compassionate character, a more understanding character, a more emphatic character, a more Christ-like character. That's what Paul means when he talks about the hope of sharing in the glory of God. The glory of God is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose glory was made manifest on the cross in an act of self-giving love for all of us. And Paul says that we are being made to be like him, made to have developed in us his character. Suffering leads to endurance, and endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. I'm not quite sure that I agree with Paul completely about that. We all know that there are people who suffer, and their suffering does not lead to hope. Oftentimes, suffering leads to frustration, and frustration leads to self-pity, and self-pity leads to apathy and hopelessness. There are lots of people who suffer in our world and who are broken by their suffering. There are lots of people who suffer and who never recover from it. But Paul reminds us that our suffering can be redeemed. Our suffering can be transformed. God can use our suffering and our brokenness and the heartache and the difficult times in our lives to bring hope to others and to bring hope to the world. What Paul is telling us in our reading this morning is that we should not waste the pain and the suffering that is a part of our lives. All of us at some point in time will suffer. And Paul wants to make sure that we do not waste that pain, do not waste that suffering, but to use that suffering to develop a Christ-like character, a character that reaches out to others, a character that brings hope and life in the midst of a world that is often conditioned by the power of death. Peter Steinke says that we waste suffering if we gloss over it, if we deny it or avoid it or neglect it, if we fail to listen for its message. If, however, we can learn from pain, it is not wasted, but it becomes a source of life and health. And Paul wants us to be able to use our suffering, to rejoice in suffering, to boast in our suffering, because suffering leads to patience and endurance. And endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope. And when Paul says boast in suffering, he's not talking about bragging about our suffering. He's talking about lifting it up. He's talking about exulting in it. He's talking about letting it shape us and form us so that it connects us with other people. It connects us with people who are suffering around us. It makes us more empathetic and more sympathetic and more compassionate and more understanding with those who are suffering around us. We all suffer. None of us are immune. We all have difficult moments in our lives. Sometimes we try to pretend that everything's okay. Sometimes we try to pretend that we're not in pain. Sometimes we try to pretend that we're not being hurt. But Paul says, remember your pain. Don't waste your pain. Use that pain to be connected to others. Use that pain and suffering to bring healing and life to others. I was reading something, an article last week about the famous Russian literary light, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. In 1945, Solzhenitsyn was a young captain serving in the Soviet Army in the midst of World War II. And even though the war was winding down, his troubles were just beginning. He was summoned to the brigade headquarters where his commanding officer asked for his service pistol. Upon handing over his pistol, he was immediately seized by two counterintelligence officers who ripped the insignia from his uniform and informed him that he was under arrest. Even though he'd served his unit with distinction, he had written a letter to a childhood friend who was serving on the Ukrainian front, criticizing Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, who was a very ruthless and brutal dictator. Given the oppressive political climate that existed in the Soviet Union during the Stalin era, that was more than enough to get one arrested. And so this young military captain was arrested and put on trial. He was sentenced to 8 long years in a Soviet labor camp near Moscow, separated from family and friends. If you've ever read anything about labor camps during the Soviet era, you know that they were very harsh and brutal places to spend any kind of time. Over the next several decades, he would spend several more years living in exile because of his political writings exposing the harshness of life inside of the Soviet Union. And in 1970, he won the Nobel Peace Prize in Literature, but was fearful of leaving the Soviet Union to collect the prize, fearing that he would not be allowed back into the country and therefore be separated from his wife and his family. But finally, in 1974, he was stripped of his citizenship and deported out of the Soviet Union, where he would eventually make his way here in the United States, where he would continue his work as an author and dissident critic of the Soviet Union. He'd become one of the most celebrated and influential writers of the 20th century. Many people here in the United States were very much interested in the light that he shed on the harshness of life inside of the former Soviet Union, especially the lives of dissidents like himself who had spent many years toiling in Soviet work camps. People wanted to know what effect it had on him. Did all of that time in the camps make him bitter? Did it make him angry and spiteful and filled with hate? Could have easily led to that. We know people whose suffering leads them in that direction. People who have suffered and who can think of nothing more but to get vengeance. People who have suffered and have had their soul to die as a result of it. People who are torn up with their own hatred and desire to get vengeance. But he himself would say that his time in prison was the most significant thing in his life because it allowed him to renew and deepen his relationship with God. And not only that, but it helped to develop in him a certain kind of character. A character not of hatred or vengeance, but a character of understanding. A character of compassion. He learned there in prison about his own weaknesses, and therefore he was far more forgiving concerning the weaknesses of others. In his own words, he said that he rarely forgave anyone. He always judged people without mercy. He was not very understanding in his judgments, but he came to realize his own weakness, and therefore came to understand the weakness of others. And he said that his soul, which was formerly dry, was ripened from his suffering. And he would take that suffering and he would use it and cultivate it, and it would become the basis of his criticism of the Soviet Union and of his concern for fellow dissidents and people locked up behind the bars and jails of the Gulag. And the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that we too do not forget our pain and our suffering. The fact is that God is looking for a few good men and women. God needs men and women to be engaged in ministry that are battle tested. God needs men and women who know what it means to suffer. Men and women who know what it means to experience pain. Men and women who know the difficulties of life, who have been in very difficult positions in life. Ministry, doing God's work in the world, requires people who have experienced their own suffering. It's difficult for God to use us if we haven't had our own suffering, if we are unacquainted with the suffering that is around us. Suffering is something that is difficult for us to talk about in our own society, because what we often want is a God who will make us happy, and a God who will make us prosperous, and a God who will solve all of our problems for us. But Paul says that suffering is something that we should rejoice in. Not because God wants us to suffer. Not because God brings suffering upon us. But because God can use our suffering to bring healing and life to others. Remember your pain. Remember your heartache. Remember the difficult periods in your life. Don't try to deny it. Don't try to cover them up. Don't try to hide it from others. Get in touch with it. Let God redeem it. Let God use it and transform it for your own healing and the healing of others. Paul was one who loved to boast. Paul was one who said again and again, I will boast in my weaknesses. I will boast in my suffering. I will boast in the way that my life resembles the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will boast in the way that my life has been taken over by love, the love poured in us by the Holy Spirit. I will rejoice in the way that my life has been broken and given away for others. That's what I will boast in. That's what I will rejoice in. I will boast in the way that my suffering touches the suffering of others. I will boast in the way my suffering connects my life to the life of others. I will boast in my sufferings because suffering produces patience and endurance, and patience and endurance produces character, a Christ-like character, and character produces hope. The hope that one day we too will see the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be made more and more like Him. He who suffered for all of us, He who suffered on the cross so that we might have life and have that life in abundance. We too are called to be like Him in His glory. We are called to suffer so that we too might participate in the redemption of our communities, in the redemption of our neighborhoods, in the redemption of our country, in the redemption of the whole world. Don't forget your pain, but claim it so that it might be redeemed for the whole world. Let us pray. Eternal God, You have called us to be Your special people. You have called us to be Your church. You have called us to be the light of the world. Help us to be that light. Help us to let our light shine. Empower us by Your Spirit to go out into the world empowered by Your life pulsing through the life of our own community. Help us not to deny the suffering that is a part of living, but help us to claim it so that You might redeem it, so that You might transform it, so that You might use it to touch others and to bring healing and life around us. Help us to continue to be that community that is shaped and formed by the Lord Jesus Christ and that follows Him out into the world to bring abundant life to all those who You have called us to seek and to serve. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.